I'll be reading from Acts 15, from 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. When they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Glad you're with us. Before we start in our lesson, let's bow for a word of prayer together. Dear Father, thank you. We just want to say thank you for you're so good to us, Father, that you gave your Son as a sacrifice for us, and that you share with us life eternal, that you have prepared a home for us beyond our imagination, a place where you yourself will be, and we will be in your presence, and you have extended that to us. We're thankful that you watch over us. We're so thankful to you, and we just pray your blessing and your care. And Father, help us to have a greater faith and greater trust in you. Father, be with us this week that we might learn more about you, that we might share that with our friends and with our neighbors. Father, that we might enjoy the time being together, and that you might be honored in the things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk just a moment about Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark. But it's much about Paul and Barnabas, and there's a lot of things we could say about what happens. But this is a major event. We've got two gentlemen that have traveled on their first missionary journey together and traveled, you know, around Asia Minor, had dealt with hardships together. And again, traveling is different than when we travel today. And you know that, but, you know, we just got back from a trip. We knew when we were leaving, and we knew when we had plane tickets to get back. And within reason, we had a pretty good idea when that plane was going to land back here. And I mean, things can happen, but usually not more than a day or two, you're back home. And we were able to book our hotel. Now you don't even call, you just get on the app. Right, just when if you have service, you just get on your handheld communication computer device and go to the website of the hotels and look for the availability of the kind of room you're looking for, what the price is, and you just book it right there and say, all right, tonight we're going to spend the night here. I mean, pretty easy. But man, when Paul and Barnabas traveled, you caught a ship where you could catch it. And depending on the weather, you might start out on the trip and say, you know, we got a winter, we can't travel because the seas are too bad. So just wherever you are, you got to figure out how to spend the winter there. And not know when you're going to get to where you're going or where you're going exactly and when you're going to get back. That's just almost different than we can imagine, isn't it? It's kind of like a turtle. He carries his home on his back, right? So they just had to find places to stay and just go. And so that's what they done. But you would have to be pretty good friends to make all that work, wouldn't you? And supporting each other through the disputes that they ran into and the people that ran them out of town and wanted to kill them. But they run into a problem as they get ready to go on this second missionary journey, this journey, what we call a second missionary journey. But it just says, let's go back to the churches we went to. Let's go back to the cities we went to and check on the churches. Let's reinforce them. Let's encourage them. Let's instruct them. Let's just see how things are going. And so they're getting ready to make this trip. But Barnabas wants to take John Mark. And John Mark had started out with them on the first journey, and John Mark had turned back. He had left them. He had not completed the journey. And don't know all the reasons why. Really don't know any of the reasons why that he turned back. But he turns back, and so Paul says, you know, I don't really want to take him again. He's not proven himself to be either committed enough or able enough, you know, to make this journey. So I don't want to make this trip with him. And so it gets to be a pretty contentious debate, argument, disagreement, fight between these two gentlemen, to the point that they decide to split up, that they're not going to continue their work together. Now, we're going to talk about this a little more, but the first point that I want to make to us is this, that godly, spirit-filled people disagree. Godly, spirit-filled people disagree. The reason I share that with you is, you know, sometimes you think, well, if these folks were full of the Spirit, Spirit tells them what the right thing to do, they'd know the right thing to do, they'd be in agreement with the right thing to do, and they'd just do it. But here are two folks that dedicated their lives to serving God who are full of the Holy Spirit that come to a disagreement. They have come to a disagreement. They're not disagreeing over doctrine, but they're disagreeing about how to proceed, whether or not to take this young man. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you'll look through church history, there have been some major divisions over instruments, has been one over some other things that have kind of divided the churches. But when it comes to local groups splitting up, rarely is it over doctrinal matters. Rarely is it over a doctrinal matter. More often, it's over a personality or an issue that's come up, some local something, the way something's done. Somebody gets their feelings hurt. I mean, that tends to be what happens. And so people just disagree. But how we disagree, how we deal with that. This disagreement is so much that Paul and Barnabas separate. They decide, we're just not going to come to an agreement about this. Evidently, Barnabas felt really strongly about taking John Mark, and Paul felt very strongly about not taking John Mark. And so they decide to do differently. Which works out for us because the song, Give Me That Old Time Religion, it was good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. It just wouldn't have sounded the same. It was good for Paul and Barnabas, it's good enough for me. Paul and Silas sounds better. We'd have never had that song. But what happens? In their disagreement, they both continue the work, right? They don't give up and say, I can't stand this guy, I'm not working anymore, I quit. They just decided, all right, I think I'm going to take John Mark, is what Barnabas says. And remember now, for a lot of the ministry, it's not Paul, it's not Saul and Barnabas, it's Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is certainly capable of carrying on the ministry. And so, and then Paul takes Silas, and so they just are able to double what they do. But they work through their disagreement. We don't know. I mean, this is all we have about it. We don't know how, but it's a strong disagreement. And I guarantee you, people took sides on it. And so how they dealt with this is going to be a major thing. So they decide, all right, let's just divide up and go differently. Let's do something different. Now, who is John Mark? Because this is important. Because not only do we have this relationship between Paul and Barnabas and their influence within the church, because how they react to this is going to make a difference as they go visit these churches, right? Because if you've been with somebody for months or years, they've been a team, when they go back one without the other, the church is going to ask, right? And so the way they respond to that, because what if they go, well, I'm not with him anymore. I just couldn't work with him. But we have no indication that they ever maligned one another. Right? They just decided to differ. But here's who John Mark is. What are the four Gospels? Matthew, John Mark, Luke, and John. The John Mark we're talking about is the writer of what we have as the second Gospel. It's the same individual. It's also an individual in Paul's letters, which happened years after, that Paul talks extremely favorable about John Mark. And so Paul is able to overcome. I mean, again, because John Mark becomes a great asset to Barnabas, a great asset to the church, and able to continue his missionary work, and he writes the gospel. And instead of Paul forever holding a grudge, instead of Paul saying, this guy's forever worthless, he's encouraged to do great things within the church. And Paul will even talk about him and ask for him as he becomes older, and talks about John Mark being a part of what he's doing and what's going on in the churches. And that's really important, because sometimes when we disagree, what happens? It severs relationships for years. For years. And not only does it sever the relationship between the two people that have a disagreement, but often it severs relationships between families or even communities, because people will take sides, right? We know what happens. And so how you do that, and we don't see that with Paul Mark. We see that they have a strong disagreement about what to do, but that they deal with it in a positive way. And what does the Scripture tell us to do when we have a disagreement? We're told what to do. We don't have to guess about how to handle them. First thing you do is go to the person with whom you have a disagreement, right? And it doesn't seem, there's nothing recorded by Luke that they ever had to go beyond this step. And the next step is to take someone with you. And the third step is to take it before the church. But it seemed like they were able to come to a way to deal with this disagreement, which was, all right, let's just separate. I'm going to take Silas, you take John Mark, and we'll just double our efforts and move on. But I'm sure there was a lot of sleepless nights about this. Don't you imagine? I mean, put yourself in their places now. Here are guys that have worked together. We're ready to go on this trip, but now we're not going to. But they're able to meet together and come to a resolution without dragging everybody into it, without dragging the church into it. And they're able to deal with it, and it actually turns out to be a positive. You know, if you handle things right, if you handle things correctly, bad things, disappointing things, aggravating things can turn out to be a positive, can't they? And they did. But again, this thing arose. And it's all right that it did. And I want us to understand that as Christians, we can have disagreements about what's best. We can. But sometimes we have found it very difficult in our culture to disagree. We have found it very difficult to disagree. We've found it very difficult to find a constructive way to deal with disagreements. Individually, and certainly on a large scale. It's hard to disagree. It's hard to find a group that can work together and disagree. We just tend to polarize. But here's two men who were very powerful. When I say that, not necessarily from a worldly term, but I mean, these are strong guys. If you can keep going when somebody's trying to kill you and leaves you for dead, throw stones at you enough that they think you're dead, have beaten you with sticks and rods and whips and everything else, and you keep going, you got something inside you, don't you? I mean, and so these guys are tough, strong-willed, dedicated men. But they come to this disagreement. And so they resolve it by saying, all right, we're going to continue the work, but we just can't do it together. It's just best we don't do it together because I'm not comfortable with this. I mean, they felt strongly about it. That happens. But what? They continued the work, and they did not let it become a wedge between them forever. Or did it become a fact where they discouraged this young man, John Mark, because he made a mistake? And I think we don't know why he turned back for sure. We don't know what that reason was. But certainly Paul didn't think it was a good reason. He may have, but Paul didn't think it was a good reason. You know, he was disturbed by that reasoning. However, Paul did not treat it in such a way that John Mark was forever discouraged. Have you ever known people that wanted to do something and they just weren't mature enough to do it? And the way people treated them, reacted them, discouraged them from it forever. Discouraged them from it forever. Well, that doesn't happen to John Mark. Now, he knows this is going on, but somehow they're able to deal with it well enough that John Mark does not become discouraged. And Paul does not forever hold this against John Mark. He doesn't forever hold it against. He could have said, you know, I know Barnabas thinks the world of him, but that boy just doesn't have the maturity. He just ain't got what it, he ain't made of the right stuff. Or he said, I just don't want anything to do it because Barnabas and I were great friends and this was just a problem. I don't ever want to deal with him. Or whatever the things that happen, and they occur all the time, don't they? But they were able to resolve their disagreement in such a way that the church was not negatively impacted, that John Mark was not only not negatively but positively impacted, and they handled it in such a way that in the years to come, not only did Paul tolerate John Mark, but bragged on him and was encouraged by him and encouraged him in his work. Paul had the courage and the humility, if you will, to encourage him. Because for Paul to do that, he really had to admit, I was wrong about John Mark. I was wrong. He was able to do this. But he's able to encourage him and write about him. And not only to write about him, but in reading those, if you read those later letters, that John Mark had actually become an asset to Paul. That they had actually worked together on projects and done things together. Problems occur in relationships. Family relationships, work relationships, church relationships. Because we're all individuals. And to think that we're all going to get along and agree is just not going to happen. And hey, some of it's just based on our personalities. Not every personality gee-haws together. You know, there are people who I respect their ability and I respect their integrity, but I just don't want to deal with them. Not that I think there's something wrong with it. It's just I don't enjoy it. We just kind of come to things from a different perspective. But I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're unintelligent. I don't think they're selfish. I don't think they're incapable. It's just we don't work as well together. And that's okay. And Christian brethren can have the same thing. That it's not that, hey, we're not going to get along, but we're just not going to be chummy. And it's best we just don't work that closely together because maybe we're too much alike. You know, sometimes you can't work with somebody that's too much like you. There's only room for one of those personalities. So it doesn't make them bad. It's just, hey, we maybe have the same strengths or the same weaknesses or both. And so we best to, you know, you can be a great asset here and I can be a great asset here. But together, we just, instead of helping each other, we just clash. So whatever those reasons are, that's okay. That doesn't make us non-Christian. And that was hard for me to understand when I was young, that I could be a Christian and I could love people, yet still not be best of buddies with them. Didn't mean I didn't love them, didn't care about them, didn't mean I thought they were bad. It's just, you know, it's just the way it is. But the thing is that we respect each other and we work through these things, and when the differences occur, that we take the biblical steps to work them out, and we do that unselfishly, and we do that with the right spirit, and we do it with humility. This was a big enough deal that it makes the Bible. It makes the Scripture, right? It changes the path of ministry, but it long-term works out for great things because these two men who disagreed did it with the right spirit and in the right way. So we're going to have disagreements and struggles. And so I just call on us, when we have a problem, discuss it. Discuss it with the person who's there. Person with whom we have a disagreement. Don't try to build a team. There's something in me, and I bet it is with you, and I'm going to quit, but this is just things that happen to me. There's something in me that I want to find somebody that agrees that the way I feel about it, that I'm right. I want to tell you that I won't find someone, you're right, they did you wrong, or they're just, you know, you just want that affirmation that the way you're feeling about it is right. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most of us, when we talk to people, unless they're really strong or they're really, really good friends, they're going to agree with you whether they think you're right or not. Most people just don't want to get into it. They go, oh yeah, right? They'll just be honest with yourself. So this looking for some, it's really not very helpful. And you might as well be honest about that, because most folks, rather than getting into it, will just agree. And I guarantee you, if the person on the other side says something, they're going to agree with them and just hope the two of you never talk. That's just a fact. So the only way to resolve it is, one, to be prayerful. And number two, go to the person with whom you have a disagreement, large or small. Go to them and resolve it. Because sometimes it is just a misunderstanding. But I'm going to tell you, the bigger you let that snowball roll, the harder it is to resolve it, and the more that everybody gets polarized. The sooner that you go to the person and deal with it, the better off you are. And then sometimes, even among Christian people, you just can't resolve it. You just can't. Sometimes you just really disagree. Sometimes you've gotten so, it's personally involved and heated about it, you just can't hear the other person. You just can't hear them. You're so touched off. You're so angry. Whatever it is, you just can't hear them. And they can't hear you. And so that's why it's important to take someone of wisdom and trust to go with you, because sometimes we're not that far apart. And so Jesus says, take somebody with you to establish what's said. And then sometimes it's an issue where the church has to judge, where the leaders of the church have to intercede. But that's the appropriate way for us to deal with it. Paul and Barnabas had a serious disagreement. Good men seriously disagreed about the way to move forward. And I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of look at it and say, I'm surprised one of you just didn't kind of give in on the issue. Was it that big a deal? But it became a big deal. Right? Right or wrong, it became a big deal. Doesn't seem like that big a deal to me, does it you? You're not going to go home and have trouble eating lunch today because you're worked up about Paul Barnabas and John Mark. But whether it seems like a big deal to people on the outside or not is not relevant. It was a big deal to them. Enough to divide them. But they dealt with it in a mature, godly way. And instead of it being a story that we read about in Acts, where Satan was able to use it to impair the growth of the church, the way they handled it, God was able to use it to increase the growth of the church. And that's the difference, isn't it? When we're able to dedicate ourselves to God and do things godly ways. We're going to disagree strongly. We're going to have personal feelings involved. We're not even going to get our feelings hurt. But the important thing is that we go to the other person and that we deal with that in a mature and Christian way. Realizing that yes, we can disagree. Yes, we can disagree about big things or about little things that seem like big things. And another thing we should never do when people disagree is to act like it's just a little thing. Why are you disagreeing? Because I bet every one of us, if we're honest, can look back at something that really disturbed us, and we're kind of going, now, why did I get so uptight about that? But it was big at the time, wasn't it? So we still just deal with it in an appropriate way. That's what I want to share with you today. Because it's a situation that most all of us, if we care about anything, we'll find this happening to us, right? The only time people won't disagree, for the most part, is when they don't really care too much about things. But most all of us, we have those things that we care deeply about. And so we'll find ourselves having controversies. It may be within our own house, may be within the church, wherever it is. But let's handle it with maturity and in the right spirit and in a godly way. If you need to come today to the cross, would you do that while we stand and sing?